This B Podcast Network show is presented by IXL. Loved and trusted by more than 1 million teachers, IXL enhances your teaching and takes work off your plate so you can make an even bigger impact on your students. IXL delivers personalized learning across a comprehensive pre-K-12 curriculum, including math, language arts, science, and social studies, and helps you assess student performance through actionable, real-time insights. Strengthen daily instruction, close knowledge gaps quickly, and set every student up for success. Want to bring IXL to your school? Learn more at IXL.com/BE. That's IXL.com/BE. Hi, welcome to the Cybertraps Podcast. I'm Jethro Jones, coming to you from Washington. I'm founder of the B Podcast Network and author of the books School X and How to Be a Transformative Principal. I'm a former principal at all levels of K-12 education.
Greetings, everybody. For those of you who don't remember, I'm Frederick Lane, an author, attorney, and educational consultant, normally based in Brooklyn, New York, but coming to you today from the city of Accra, Ghana. I'm the author of 10 books, including most recently Cybertraps for Educators 2.0, Raising Cyberethical Kids, and Cybertraps for Expecting Moms and Dads. Jethro and I have teamed up to bring timely, entertaining, and useful information to teachers, parents, and others about the risks arising from the use and misuse of digital devices.
Over the coming weeks and months, we'll be talking to some of the world's leading experts from the fields of education, parenting, sociology, and cyber safety. Join us as we look at what it takes to better navigate our increasingly high-tech world. For more information or to donate to our work, please visit centerforcyberethics.org.
The Cybertraps Podcast is a production of the slightly more flush Center for Cyberethics, a 501c3 independent nonpartisan educational institute dedicated to the study and promotion of cyberethics as a positive social force through research, curricular development, publishing and media, global traveling, professional training, and public advocacy. Hello there, Jethro.
Hello, Fred. Man, in Africa, can you believe this actually happened?
It is so bizarre. Let me tell you, it has been a wild week so far, and I am looking forward to telling you about it.
Well, I'm so glad that we are able to do this while you're in Africa, because so many unique, different experiences, I'm sure, are happening. And I'm glad that we get to capture some of it as part of the podcast. And I'm looking forward to, you're going to be there for the whole month of March, right?
That's right. I'm here through April 1st, and it's going to be a fairly busy stretch. We've already done a bunch of stuff. A quick shout out for folks that if they'd like to see some of the photos of my trip and some of the updates on the presentations that I'm doing, some of which we'll discuss, they absolutely should sign up for the free newsletter, newsletter.cybertraps.com. Obviously, if they want to donate, a portion of those proceeds go to the Center for Cyberethics. Certainly it is a free thing in your inbox, and you'll get some insights into what I'm doing over here.
Yeah. And I want to share, like, you've only been there a couple days, but you've already been on a news program with AWO and this cool guy that I don't remember his name, but it was
Blessed Soga. Great.
Blessed
name.
Soga. Yes. Great name. So,
and we should back up, Jethro, real quick. We should back up and let people know, because I think it's important that this is, my trip here is sponsored by the U.S. State Department through an organization called World Learning. And I'm over here on a subset of the Fulbright program, which is for academics to do semesters and years abroad in different countries in their areas of specialty. And as some of the listeners may recall, I've talked about the fact that my wife, Amy, who's a professor of art history, has done Fulbrights in China and then in York, England, back in 2019. So she was the one who introduced me to the Fulbright Specialist Program. And I want to give a call out to anybody who might be interested, because it's open to anybody other than academics. It's specifically designed for people who are not professors. And what you do is you submit an application in areas of specialization. And if you get approved, you get put on this roster of experts, and either you can apply for opportunities that the Fulbright people become aware of, Or you can do what I did, which is to make my own arrangements with an organization. And one of our earliest guests actually was Adam Amenya, who is the founder and director of Child Online Africa, which is based here in Accra. And she had previously, during the pandemic, invited me to be on a panel for African Internet Safety Day. And so out of that relationship came this particular trip. So it's really been a wonderful example of how a combination of social media networking and governmental outreach can bring people together. It's been fun.
Yeah, it's really amazing because we talked with Abo a long time ago, and I was on a panel for something she was doing for that as well. And it's really cool that this has blossomed into you literally going to Africa to help them do things in a smart and ethical manner. So we'll get into the things that you are doing there and all that kind of stuff in just a little bit. But this is just really exciting. This finally came to pass, and you know, you've been talking about it for over a year, and it finally happened.
Yeah. And remember, we thought this was going to happen back in September, but for a variety of reasons, things didn't really gel until about 3 weeks before I was supposed to fly to Accra. Mm-hmm. And I think I made a smart decision, which was to write back to the State Department and to AWO and say, look, that's really quick. Can we just move this to March? And they were happy to do that.
Yeah.
So that gave us a lot more time to plan. AWO is an absolutely tireless planner and networker. So she has put together a program that honestly, I'm earning my keep, I guess is the way to put it over here. So, and to be absolutely clear, this trip is at least, if not more, about what I can learn about what folks here are doing as my offering my own insights, because the work that people are doing in this country, you know, particularly given some of the resource challenges that they face, is remarkable. And I'm really honored to have a chance to see it.
Yeah, I think it's super cool. And I'm really glad that you're there. I'm glad that you're able to participate and be a resource for them, but also to learn some new things and see how people are doing it in other places. And Accra, Ghana is not a small city either, right? It's gigantic.
No, it's not huge by global standards. I think if I recall correctly, it's maybe just a million people. It's really spread out. Overall, Ghana is a nation of 30 million people. It's not considered to be a particularly big country in Africa. It's located on the basically the western part of the elbow that swings down towards South Africa. Basically directly below the Sahara Desert. And actually, I came just at the tail end of the annual dust weather that blows from the Sahara. And actually, I mean, they have a term for it, which I'm not remembering, but that some of that sand and dust actually winds up in Houston over the course of the year. It's really amazing. It just gets swept up in the upper atmosphere and circulates the globe. It's remarkable stuff. Let's see. So yeah, real quickly, the flight over was fine. It's such a bizarre thing. You take off at midnight and they wake you up at 2 a.m. to feed you a meal for some absolutely inexplicable reason. But then I managed to do a little bit more sleeping and then got here and got settled. And the next day went to the embassy, which is just down the road from here. Very American, right? It's a footprint right here near the airport. The United States government is not so about its developments and buildings in foreign countries. I happen to be right next to the Iranian embassy, which is kind of strange, and the French. So this is very much the diplomatic area. Later that afternoon, as you alluded to, I would set up this interview with Pulse FM Joy News. And actually, there's a video embedded in the most recent issue of the Cybertraps newsletter, which people can watch. It's about 15 minutes long. And, you know, immediately I'm being asked about very much the same kind of issues that you and I discuss, because the news had broken that morning that the Ghanaian authorities had taken down almost 1,000 websites, or I guess social media accounts more accurately, that purported to be of high government officials, and they were being used to scam people. And all of the same issues that we face here in the US, which of course makes total sense, because it's the same platforms, it's the same software, all the rest of it. So we talked about that. We talked about the long-range goal for my project here, which is to develop additional resources for parents and kids to try to avoid some of the safety issues online. Obviously, Child Online Africa has done a lot of that, but this will give me an opportunity to update some of the issues, offer my perspective from the US, and address new technology. So for instance, at lunch today, Awo and I were discussing the fact that we need to add in ChatGPT and other large language models into this handbook so that people better understand what it is.
So on that subject, a brief detour from what you're talking about is I've been spending the last 2 months working with a company here in the States called School AI, which is developing and using ChatGPT and other tools like it for creating lesson plans, assessments for students, and really trying hard to take pressure off of teachers and make their lives easier so they can spend more time focusing on what kids are focusing on the kids so that they can have those good positive experiences. And I think that so I'm a big nerd, right? And I have been for a long time, but I have not been yes, you feel me, right?
all the fields.
So I have not been this excited about educational technology literally in over a decade. Like there from the 2004-ish area until about 2010 through 12, it was really exciting. There were tons of new products, tons of new things to do, and it was really great. And then from 2011, 12-ish until just last year, to be honest, there really wasn't a lot that was exciting. Probably the only one that was really like attention getting was Flipgrid, for example. And there weren't many like it, or weren't many that were really innovative. It was more just like this refining process time, which is all fine and dandy, but I'm really excited about this and what the potential is, because it's enabling things and expanding creativity in ways that I just honestly, I wasn't prepared for. And after like just looking at it is cool, but then really digging in and seeing what is actually possible is amazing. And I'm doing things with it that I've never been able to do in my life, which is very exciting.
Well, I will propose, particularly when I get back to the US, that we do a whole show on large language models and their implications. If people are interested, the episode or the issue of the Cybertraps newsletter before last has links to the 5 presentations I did up in Alaska, which we can talk about briefly if you want. But one of them was a keynote entitled "What's Up, Bot?" And it was really designed to be the cabinet of horrors of what could be happening with respect to ChatGPT and so forth. And I think it was reasonable to do that because there's a lot of things that people haven't thought about that they should. But I would argue with you, and I suspect you'll agree, that when we look back on this era, we're going to have 3 tent poles of digital technology. We're going to have the World Wide Web in 93, 94. We're going to have the smartphone in 2007. And we're going to have large language models in 22, 23 as being these hinge points in technological development. And I think it is going to be absolutely fascinating. Certainly if we're able to free people from repetitive and only marginally creative work, and give them the opportunity to do higher level stuff, that's fantastic.
Yeah, I think so. And I don't know, there's so much for us to talk about. So I don't want to take too much from what you're doing in Africa. tell us about your week coming up, what you're going to be working on over the next week. And then hopefully internet and time will work out that we can do another interview for Cybertraps next week. Cause this is episode one of season three, and we're excited to share.
We are loving it. Yeah. It's terrific to get back on the ball, which I'm excited about. So let's see, this week, real quickly, I did a wonderful meet and greet with Ken Ashigbe, who is the chief executive officer of the Ghana Chamber of Telecommunications. So it's basically an advocacy group for the various tech companies and cellular providers here in Ghana. They're working on a lot of child safety issues. There's a real issue with gambling in Ghana. I actually mentioned to him gaming, thinking I was going to be talking about things like Xbox and PlayStation 1 and stuff like that. And he said, yes, that is becoming something that more and more kids are doing, and esports beginning to rise. But the real problem they have with gaming is the rise of low-level betting, particularly in the more rural areas where, you know, machines or programs are being promoted to the extent that, you know, kids are pilfering from their parents in order to bet and so forth. And it's a huge issue. It really is, particularly given the economic circumstances in this country. Ghana is in another wave of attempting to refinance government bonds and its international debt. It's already gone through one cycle of forgiveness and so forth. And now the IMF is basically back at the door trying to straighten things out again. You know, it's interesting that I need to read so much more to better understand literally what I'm seeing, but there's a huge amount of construction that seems to have been started and then not finished. And then a lot of kind of the environmental stuff is really discouraging in terms of, you know, water quality, sewage, air quality, so on and so forth. That's a longer conversation. And again, I need to better inform myself. But in terms of what they're trying to do online, certainly Mr. Ashigbe was very interested in, actually, of all things, Jethro, the Alaskan experience. The idea, the challenge of bringing quality education to remote areas, which is one of the fundamental challenges here in Ghana as well. And so ended up having a very interesting chat about two areas nine time zones apart that are facing some similar issues. The next day, actually, I got up and drove 2.5 hours to the town of Ho, H-O, in the Volta region of Ghana, because Awa was doing a presentation at a tech forum and fair for young women. Yesterday being, of course, International Women's Day, there are large number of female-only schools scattered across Ghana. So they gathered a number of the students from the schools to come together at this high school in Ho. And the kids were giving presentations of games that they've written. They're deeply into project management. They're basically offering to run female-owned businesses for people. It was really, really inspiring. These kids, they're middle school kids, they're high school kids, they are poised. And, you know, I was saying to someone, we can't underestimate what this generation is going to be like, given the tools that technology offer and the degree of confidence that they get from being able to do this stuff. And of course, it's fascinating in the kind of broader cultural sense of Ghana. You know, the gender roles are still very strictly defined, particularly, you know, if you're in your 30s and up, it's these kids, you know, and in some ways similar to the United States, these kids have no patience with that. It's like, we're carving our own path. We're going to figure this out. So that was really cool. Next week, I've got a series of presentations at different schools. At some point, once we get the time broken down or nailed down, I'm going to do a presentation on digital investigations for the Ghanaian State Police, which will be interesting.
Yeah.
And then also, for some reason, the Ghanaian Prison Guard Association wants me to do a presentation of some description. And then at towards the end of the visit, I'll do a fireside chat back, basically with whoever wants to dial in from around Ghana, parents mostly, talking about kids' safety issues. And then we'll figure out the timeline for creating the resource that I mentioned at the beginning.
Yeah, wow. So sounds like a full calendar and definitely a lot going on. If it works out and you can record these, we can splice them into the podcast as well. So let's,
sure.
You know.
Yeah. Well, actually I have something to show you because I was actually planning ahead.
Oh, look at you go.
I have this and I am going to start using it for my presentations on Monday. For those who can't see this, it is, just to give them a shout out, a Zoom H1N handy recorder. And I even have the 32 gigabit, memory card. So we should be all good to go.
Perfect. Yeah, that's very good. I don't have it within grabbing distance, but I got a, remember when I came down? Oh yeah, you saw it when I was in at NASTEC in
yes,
in November. Gosh, that seems like so long ago. I had a small Zoom recorder thing that was really, really handy. And I really like having something small and portable like that. So yeah, that's good. I'm glad you've got that. And I look forward to hearing some of those recordings. And, you know, we may have a few special episodes that are just your presentations that, that we can put out, which will be cool.
Well, that sounds good. And we should talk too. I'm going to give you the links to the presentations that I did in Alaska. And the sound quality on those should be pretty good. So if we wanted to extract stuff from that, that would be useful too. May as add it to the mix. But for those who are listening in the beginning here of March, I'm hoping to have Awo join me next week sometime when I can work out a time with Jethro. Beyond that, there's a handful of other people I'd love to, at the very least, interview with a handheld mic and see if I can get 15 or 20 minutes, of their time. So,
yep. I mean, I think that would be really great. And I think people would love to hear their perspective of what's going on for them right now. I think there's a lot of potential for some good stuff coming out of this trip. And I'm just so glad that you made it and that it actually happened. It's super exciting.
Thank you so much, Jethro. And it's great to have a chance to chat with you about it and obviously your assistance in publicizing what's going on. I will leave our listeners with one statistic. So we often talk about the fact that in the United States, the adoption of smartphones in the high school is basically 95% or so, and only 20 percentage points lower in middle school. Over here, those figures are closer to 30 and 10.
Interesting.
So it is interesting. And so there's still a very vibrant internet cafe culture here, where for a few cedis, that's the Ghanaian currency, CEDI, kids can go in and get online and stuff like that. But it's good in a sense that it's slowed down some of the social issues, although when Awa was giving her presentation for the International Women's Day thing, I mean, she was very blunt about the fact that many young women are asked for intimate images by their boyfriends, just as happens in the US. So I guess that makes sense, human nature being what it is. But, it's interesting that for a very conservative culture, which Ghana basically is, that those conversations are starting to be had in public in this way. So just fascinating stuff.
Yeah, very interesting. So a couple things to think about. I know in many African countries get used things from the United States, technology, cell phones, things like that.
Clothing,
et cetera. In fact, keep an eye out for someone, because I saw this when I was in Russia, I saw kids wearing clothes that were like Super Bowl champions or NBA champions for the losing team that didn't actually win.
That's
because they make all those shirts and hats and everything beforehand. So So if you see something like that, it would be great to see what that looks like and see if that is something that's still happening. Just as a side note, it has nothing to do with technology or anything.
Well, it's actually super ironic that you raised that particular story, because as we were driving back yesterday, which took so long because of traffic, I looked up and there was this kid on the side of the road wearing a bright green t-shirt, you know, with the city limit signs.
Uh-huh.
And it said, it's pronounced Woosta, Woosth, which is a Massachusetts joke, because the city in the middle of the state is Worcester. So you always have people saying Worcester. I want to go to Worcester.
Yeah.
And it's pronounced Woosta. And my siblings lost it when I told them that I had seen that shirt in the middle of Ghana, you know. They thought it was great.
Yeah, it's wild. I was amazed. I can't remember any of them now, of course, but I was amazed at some of the things I saw when I was in Russia, of like shirts that had references to things happening in America that, for whatever reason, they ended up there in Russia. And you, they're probably not buying those like super trendy items. You know, somehow they're getting over there. So
I'm really starting to. I'm starting to think more about this, and I know we need to wrap up, but you know, the global culture piece, Jethro, is amazing. So there's a store that sells baby goods, and it calls itself Baby on Board, and it uses the big yellow thing.
Oh, man.
Or one of the telecom boxes is painted with SpongeBob SquarePants.
Like, yeah.
It's everywhere. It's so pervasive. It's amazing. Yeah.
So anyway, back to the thing we're really talking about, but those are fun stories. You should definitely take pictures and
absolutely
and share those things. Back to technology, as people continue upgrading their phones and devices here in America, those recycled and still capable, but used devices are probably going to end up in places like Africa, like Ghana, and be an opportunity for people to buy them at a cheaper rate and for those companies to still do them. I mean, Apple is very big into the recycling their gear, and they're not reselling all of that here in the States. They're probably shipping it somewhere like Africa and getting, you know, couple year old phones in people's hands. And I think that is just going to continue to increase as it can become affordable, as the economy does better, hopefully, and people can afford those things. So that'll be an interesting thing to pay attention to over the next several years. And if you do see kids with smartphones, I would love it if you could ask them where they're getting them and if they are buying them used or new, or how that's working, if it's appropriate and makes sense. So just for a little boots on the ground reporting.
I think that's fantastic. I know that next week, at least one of the presentations is at what they call a senior high school. And then the other one is at a basic school. And that'll definitely be something I want to ask, or I probably would pose that quietly to the teachers. But if I do see any kids who are willing to chat with me, I will. It's a great idea.
Yeah, very interesting. Okay. Well, super excited that we've been able to chat. And if you're listening and haven't heard from us for a while, it's because Fred's been busy, I've been busy, and we're excited to start season 3, episode 152 is what this is with Fred here. Amazing. In Africa. So thanks, Fred, for making the time.
My pleasure, Jethro, and thanks for lighting the fire. Let's get season 3 up and running and do good stuff with it. So, all righty, that wraps up this episode of the Cyber Traps podcast. In the coming weeks, we'll continue our coverage of emerging trends in a variety of areas, including digital misconduct, cyber safety, cybersecurity, privacy, and the challenges of high-tech parenting around the world. Along the way, we'll talk to a growing collection of international experts who are helping us to understand the risks and the rewards of digital technology.
You can find the Cyber Traps podcast on all your favorite podcast apps. We hope that you'll share the show with your friends and colleagues and reach out to us if you have guests, questions, or topic suggestions. If you're looking to follow us on Twitter, I'm at Jethro Jones and Fred is at Cybertraps. And if you're still listening, you must have loved this show. Please leave us a 5-star rating and review in your podcast service. We appreciate having you here, and in our audience, and we look forward to having you join us for our next episode.
Do you want to save time on prep work, increase student achievement for all of your students, reliably meet Tier 1 standards? You can do it all, but don't waste another minute. Head straight to IXL.com/B to learn how IXL's research-proven teaching and learning platform can help you achieve these goals. That's IXL.com/BE.